You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis, they're daring him to shoot it. He says, why not? And he buries the three from the left wing. Giannis ties it up again, 106-106.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Holiday to inbound to Middleton. Fires up the off-balance three, and it misses short. And Philly's going to wiggle off the hook with a 123-120 victory against the Bucks tonight here at Fiserv Forum.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
All right, how about that? The first half is over. It's a larger discussion on why we call this the first half of the season. And I mean, look, if we're going to call this first half versus second half, let's just move the All-Star break to mid-January. I get when you do it here, it's, well, we're football's already out of the picture, but do the All-Star break and All-Star weekend, Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Nonetheless, 60 games in for the Bucks. They go into the All-Star break with 36 wins. Obviously not where you expected to see this team when the season began, but there's a number of contributing factors there. You've played 59 games without Brook Lopez. You've had Giannis and Chris and Drew and Bobby and Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton all in health and safety protocols. You've had Grayson Allen out with injuries. You have Pat Connaughton out with injuries. Giannis has missed some time. Chris and Drew have missed some time. No team has had their full complement of players. The Bucks have been hit just about as hard as anyone. You're still 12 games above 500. You're still continuing to add pieces. Tonight was unique. You didn't really have any depth on the perimeter. Pat was out. George Hill remains out. Hey, by the way, we haven't seen George Hill for a while. So All-Star break is coming at a great time for George Hill. No Pat tonight. No Grayson. No George Hill. Wesley Matthews did come back. DeAndre Bembry unable to make his Bucks debut tonight. But what we got in the fourth quarter, if we get a playoff series between the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets, sign me up for that. To get Giannis versus Joel Embiid, it feels like it's been 5 or 6 years in the making for these two teams to face each other in a playoff series. Add James Harden into the mix. We did not see him tonight. But the fourth quarter of tonight's game, we can dwell on the negatives and the inconsistencies, or we can focus on, hey, how great was Giannis in the fourth quarter? And this really felt like two prize fighters just throwing haymakers at each other when you had Embiid doing what he did and Giannis scoring 16 of those 32 points in the fourth quarter. So it had a lot of playoff feels to this one. Unfortunately, the 76ers win it. So now we head into the All-Star break. Raise your hand if you had the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls as the co-leaders of the Eastern Conference at the All-Star break. And, oh, by the way, the Cleveland Cavaliers right up there as well. The Heat and the Bulls are our conference leaders. The Cavs, 76ers, and the Bucks, all 2.5 games back of those two teams. And the Boston Celtics, Greg, we talked about it on the last couple of shows. The Boston Celtics, according to 538, the 2022 NBA champion Boston Celtics lurking in the background, just 4.5 games back. We are at the midpoint, though. The All-Star break is here. This is your last opportunity to get in touch with us for a week until next Saturday night when the Bucks take on the who-knows-will-be-playing Brooklyn Nets. 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line, 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us. We had Giannis with highlight-level plays again. We had Joel Embiid, unstoppable. And look, I obviously don't know what the discourse was on the TV broadcast. I do know what we were talking about before the game and during the game and seeing some of the commentary on Twitter as well. Yes, without Brook Lopez, the Bucks do not really have any great options to throw out there on Joel Embiid. Bobby Portis isn't ideal. He doesn't play that style. And, you know, Bobby Portis, he can play center. He's not a center. Serge Ibaka, basically the same. I mean, I think you feel more comfortable with Serge Ibaka taking on that role than you would Bobby Portis. But without Brook Lopez, there isn't really that ideal body to throw on Joel Embiid. Now, here's the thing. Show me the team that has the guy where you say, yep, this is the Joel Embiid stopper. It's the same conversation we've had with Giannis throughout the years of, well, they don't really have the guys to stop Giannis. Well, nobody has the guys to stop Giannis. The Bucks don't have the guy to stop Joel Embiid without Brook Lopez. Nobody has the guy to stop Joel Embiid, especially with the way he's playing this season. Now, your hope is get Brook Lopez back. And then you have Brook and Serge Ibaka. At times, you could put Giannis on him, although we only saw that maybe three or four times during the course of play tonight. Bobby Portis is another guy at times. You can throw him out there. You just want more bodies and more looks you can throw. Heard Coach Budenholzer after the game say, you know, overall, we did some good things defensively. We did some things we need to work on. And that was the way this game felt, where, again, first quarter you felt like, all right, this feels like a playoff game. These are two teams going back and forth, trading the lead. Second quarter, as we've seen a couple of times now in recent games, the second quarter has seemingly replaced the third quarter as the problem quarter for the Bucks. So hopefully that's something that gets cleaned up in the All-Star break here for the Bucks moving forward. But the fourth quarter, sign me up for more of that, and sign me up for Giannis doing those things repeatedly once we get to the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Let's start with some phone calls here and head out to Milwaukee and talk with Michael. You're up.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It was a great game. You know, I just was curious about what you think of the three-point attempt. We were down three. There's about 11 seconds left there. So it was, I think it was in one of the last three possessions. And they drew up a play for Chris to shoot that three, and I just kind of thought it was a little quick for going for the tie when they could have gone for the two. So just wanted your thoughts on that. And then overall, I mean, I know we're watching them on Sunday, so it's kind of like, what are we talking about? But Chris, you know, you've touched on it. Chris has struggled shooting pretty much the whole first half. And, you know, I think his shot-making ability always makes up for the other things that maybe aren't as great. Again, he's an all-star, but, you know, if he doesn't pick up a shooting, which I think everyone still thinks he will, but if he doesn't pick up a shooting, it's kind of concerning for us to kind of make a run and be where we want to be at the end of the day. So just want to know your thoughts on those things, thanks.
I think it was about 10 seconds left in the game. I didn't really have a problem with it, and look, nobody on this team was hitting shots, and that was ultimately the biggest problem, is you can create opportunities. I do wonder how much that changes if Grayson Allen is out here. We saw Wesley Matthews in some closing lineups. I got to believe that's going to be George Hill, and I'm not suggesting that's a massive upgrade shooting-wise, but you do wonder how differently things look if George Hill is out there instead, and especially if Grayson Allen is somebody that's on the floor. But nobody was really hitting shots. You were creating good looks for Chris, for Bobby Portis. It seemed like for most of this game, in the fourth quarter, Giannis was hitting everything. Drew Holiday was the guy that was hitting a lot of clutch shots in this game. So I don't have a problem with Chris Middleton taking the shot. He's probably the guy you would point to and say, I want him to take that shot with the game on the line. I don't have a problem with the timing of it either, because I think everything shows you, by the numbers, take the three as quickly as possible. Don't try to prolong this, especially with the situation Philadelphia was in. They had a foul to give, so they could just extend this game and continue to follow you and make you hit two free throws. So taking the three to me was the right call. It just didn't go in, and that was the story of the game. Is you can think back to at least four open looks the Bucks got on three-pointers that the shot didn't fall. Bobby Portis on a three that would have tied the game. Chris Middleton on a three that would have pulled them to within one. Chris Middleton on another three late that would have tied the game. There was another three that would have put the Bucks back in front. So they had a number of those looks. Jordan Wara had a three that would have tied the game as well. They had a number of looks that just didn't fall. And that you're not going to win when you get those open looks and they don't knock them down. So that, to me, told most of this game, a disastrous second quarter and not capitalizing on looks that you created. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and text line. Jake in Waukesha, you're up next on Bucks Talk. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, the Eastern Conference standings in general. I mean, it just feels like the Bucks can't string together enough wins in a row to really solidify their spot in the standings. And, I mean, there's still a possibility that we fall into the play-in tournament. I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Like, does it even matter what seed we are at this point? Like, obviously, if the Bucks are healthy with Brook Lopez and all the other guys who've been out, like, we can beat anyone. But, like, certainly it doesn't help, you know, if you fall down the standings. So just want to get your take on that one.
Yeah, I mean, technically, yes, they could still fall into the play-in in tournament. And to Jake's point, I mean, we spend a lot of time saying Bucks are only 2.5 games out of the lead. Well, they're equidistant to the top spot and the play-in tournament. It's only 2.5 now that separate the Raptors and the Bucks. I don't think – I mean, yes, it's the same distance between both of those 2 points. The Bucks aren't going to fall into the play-in tournament. That there is a night and day difference between the Bulls, the Heat, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Bucks, even the Celtics at this point. Then there is the Raptors, the Hornets, the Hawks, and this current version of the Brooklyn Nets. So I don't think the play-in tournament is a legitimate concern. But as for the other part of the question, does it matter where the Bucks finish? Now, yes, I agree. They have not consistently strung together wins, save for that 8-game win streak earlier this season and another 5-game win streak after that. But look, I'm also not going to judge this team or form a solid opinion on them until March. I think we've seen a lot of inconsistency. You wonder how much of that is a team that's coming off a shortened offseason that won a championship last year, that's played a lot of games, and is just ready for a break and for the All-Star break. So I think that is definitely a component. I don't think the Bucks are the only team that's facing that. So once you get into March, I expect to see things kicked up a notch. The inconsistencies, I'm not going to say go away, but they're greatly reduced. And what we saw in the fourth quarter, you see more of that because we started to get those consistencies on the road trip, and then it kind of reverted when the Bucks returned home. So you got to play more complete games. And I expect to see that in March. And look, I still stand by, there's a lot of unknown in the Eastern Conference. What I do know is that trio of Giannis and Chris and Drew are really good, and they've proved they can get it done in the postseason. The Bulls haven't proven that. The Cavaliers don't have those guys. They haven't proven that. This 76ers team has not proven that. They've gotten to the second round of the playoffs once. James Harden hasn't gotten farther than that. He's been in the conference finals. James Harden hasn't had great postseason performances. Boston Celtics have gotten there, but that's also a team that I don't think. We joked about the 538. They're somehow projecting the Celtics to be the best team in the East. I'll believe that when I see it. So really, I still stand by, I know these three guys have been really good when it matters most, and I trust a lot of that roster in Miami. So still, inconsistencies aside, to me, the Bucks and the Miami Heat are the two safest bets, despite what we've seen here this last week from the Bucks. They're the two safest bets in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. When we return, our favorite caller will join us on the show in time to hear from you as well. Bucks fall to the Sixers and go into the All-Star break at 36-24. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Middleton the other way. Crosses over with a left-hand dribble. He's at the free throw line. Puts up a lob pass to Giannis, who guides it in from the right baseline. So the Bucks back to within three. 64-61. Milwaukee led by 12 here this quarter.
All right, again, the positives from this game. Giannis looked like the MVP in the fourth quarter. He outplayed Joel Embiid, scored 16 points in that quarter, finished the game with 32. But the Bucks fall short here to the 76ers tonight, 123-120. So again, 60 games in on the season, and maybe not necessarily where you expected to see the Bucks. 60 games through now at 36-24. But hey, again, let's look at the bright side of things. It's not the dumpster fire disaster that's going on in New York with both the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. So you're still in the thick of it if you're the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. What's on your mind? First half of the season, fourth quarter of this game, thoughts on the game overall. Whatever it is, we've got you here on Bucks Talk. Let's head back out to the phones and talk with our good friend Dick in Port Washington. Dick, how did the first half of the season go for you?
Hey, I'm fine with it. But, you know, I'm going to be Joe E. To me, I'm a hater. I look at him. I said to my wife before the game ever started, you watch. He's going to have some injury tonight early in the game where he's going to have to go to the locker room and come back because, you know, he always complained about the guy they just traded. Yeah, mental health issues. This guy's got them too. And I don't mean that meanly. I'm just talking about basketball. And sure as heck, he goes to the locker room, comes out with this finger injury. Okay. So now he has an excuse that if he doesn't play or they lose, they're okay. All right. They're not an issue for us. I really don't think so. I think we're only going to get better. Can you imagine if we get when we get Brooke back, we got Srbacka, we're going to be great. This is so much better than last year. And then we still got, I think, one, if not two, positions open on that we can sign guys with. I'm really happy with the first half of the season. Last year, as you know, when I called in, I wasn't. We're fine. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on. What do you think? Let me respond.
Well, I hope you're not a jinx. That I hope this isn't the year we should worry. But also, I mean, to your point of they potentially have the most depth. And it feels like we've said this 3 out of the 4 years under Bud. We definitely didn't say it last year. But they've put themselves in a spot to potentially have the most depth moving into the postseason than they ever have under Bud. Because the elephant in the room is, as you mentioned, there are two open roster spots, and we keep saying where there's smoke, there's fire. There is one name that keeps coming up. We dove into it last night, Greg, when somehow Robert Randolph stepped aside from the family band, and he's become an NBA insider, and he's saying Goran Dragic is either picking the Bucks or the Warriors. You're hearing, and we've heard this for weeks, Bucks are going to put the full court press on to bring in Goran Dragic. It just... Look, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but don't you kind of get the feeling of Goran Dragic is coming to Milwaukee? And look, he's not the guy he was a couple of years ago. I don't expect him to be the player he was in the bubble run for the Miami Heat. But if Goran Dragic can give you 10 points a night and can be scoring off the bench and lead that second unit, because tonight, you know, we talked about the other night, hey, the Bucks bench actually did pretty well. Bucks bench scored 10 points tonight. And look, a big part of that is Jordan Wara was in the starting lineup and scored 18. But this has been habitual and consistent that it's 10 points, 15 points, 14, 18. It's been brutal. And I'm going to say it again. You don't want to be the leading scoring bench in the league. It's typically a bad team that does that. You also don't want to be as far down on the list as the Bucks have been. Second worst bench scoring team in the league this season. So, if you can get Goran Dragic. And look, consolation prize, Dennis Schroeder. Get one of those guards that can run an offense, but most importantly can give you some scoring punch off the bench. Brook Lopez comes back. What does that mean? Well, number one, your defense becomes infinitely better. And all of a sudden, you have a lot of rim protection with Brook, with Serge, with Giannis. You got a handful of bigs that you can cycle through with those three guys and Bobby Portis. But also, it pushes Bobby Portis back to the bench and gives you more offense coming off of the bench there. Pat Connaughton, we've heard, is a four-week project that he'll be back. So he's going to be in the mix. DeAndre Bembry is going to give you, not scoring, but he's going to give you some defense because that was another one of the problems. Embiid was great. Bucks missed open looks, but they were trading baskets far too often. They weren't coming up with stops in this game. And DeAndre Bembry is going to help you there. So, overall, I'm with you, Dick, that I'm not worried yet. Another injury would do that. But, again, stack up the Bucks' main guys, and I'll take that over every team in the Eastern Conference. I'll put the Miami Heat on that level just because, again, Spo's a great coach. They have guys that have done it in the playoffs. But that's where I'm at. Jake in Heartland. Let's hear from Jake. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Yeah, hi. So I kind of have a lot to say with what you just kind of said and the depth and whatnot. So here's what I have. So obviously the Serge Ibaka trade, that was great. You know, we needed that from the beginning of the season. We kind of realized since Brooks been out, yes, we need help at the depth for center position, especially defensively. We go out there, we get a guy like Serge, that's phenomenal, right? He's kind of got that dog mentality like PJ brought, you know, I'm all in on that. But now we give up Dante DiVincenzo, who, might I add, is a three and rebounding guy, right? Knocks down the threes, hustle player, chases down the boards. That's what we're missing right now. And especially with Pat being out, you said that we're one injury away from you being a little worried. I think we should be worried because, yes, he might be a four-week project or whatever, but, I mean, we still need a guy who can hit those threes, who can grab those boards, so we don't have to end up putting Jeff Teague in playoff minutes like we did last year for God only knows why, right? So that's where I'm at. And then I'd also like to add Jordan Wara. What is up with him? He is such a head case. Like, he can go off and he can score all these points. He can be lights out from three. Other times he can barely make any points, playing garbage minutes. And I think his biggest flaw and what's really holding him back is the fact that he's not a team player. He doesn't know how to facilitate. He'll take contested threes over finding an open man. He's just not a team player yet, and I just don't see that translating into the playoffs. I really don't.
So let's start with the Dante thing. It had just kind of reached the point, and I think you'd agree with this, it had reached the point where it just wasn't going to happen here. And he put together good stretches of shooting, but consistency is what we talked about here in the first half, and consistency was always an issue with Dante. You would have these stretches where he was red hot. You would have these stretches where he kind of disappeared. And, oh, by the way, he's had a history of injuries and not staying on the court. You need that in the playoffs, and especially as we're saying, man, these guys, you need more bench punch. You need guys that are going to be there and do those things. You can't rely on a guy that is off the floor for a handful of games because of injury. So it just felt like it reached the point, and I think John Horst basically alluded to this too, of I think we both need to, you know, we need some help in the front court. You probably have a better opportunity to exceed elsewhere where you will get more of those minutes. You're going to be behind Giannis and Chris and Drew, obviously, but Grayson Allen had moved past him, and Grayson Allen had been more consistent. So I don't think Dante was ever going to excel here anymore. So I get you miss what he did defensively and off the ball a lot, but I think the hope is a guy like DeAndre Bembry can fill some of that for the second unit minutes. Pat Connaughton can do a lot of that, and you'll ask more of him when he's back. The scoring-wise, if Dante was consistently knocking down shots, 100% agree with you, but I think you look at the buyout market to fill that bench scoring for this team. You know, I still think it was a move that had to be made, but the injury that I say, look, they're one injury away from being concerned, it's to one of those three guys that, I mean, if you continue to lose pieces, even if it's for an extended period, it's not great. But when you get in the playoffs, again, if I got those three guys, I'm taking them over just about every team in the Eastern Conference. So as this team gets healthy, we've continued to say this, and right now the hope is you just get to that period, because we keep saying when Brook comes back, when this guy comes back. Well, that's hoping that it happens. And I know there's been a lot of optimism of Brook will be back before the playoffs. Pat's injury is just 4 weeks. It's great to say that. It's even better to realize it. So we're still kind of in wait-and-see mode, but I choose to believe Brook will be back before the playoffs. Pat will be back. Now, the big thing with Pat is his shooting impacted? But in terms of that bench scoring and having somebody else to come off the bench that can do some of those things, you're going to start to replace that as you get guys' health. Because let's not forget either, George Hill's been out for a while. And I'm still in between if you should be concerned or if this is just precaution. We seem to have gotten both answers from Coach Budenholzer of, well, we know the All-Star break is coming up and it's 8 days, so if he continues to miss time, then we might just hold him out. At first we heard maybe he'll be back midway through the West Coast road trip. That didn't happen. Then it was, well, maybe Monday. That didn't happen. And then it was, well, we got the All-Star break coming up, so maybe we'll give him an extended rest. If George Hill isn't back for Saturday, then it's time to say, okay, what's going on here? And is this a guy, what's he going to give us moving forward? But George Hill's another guy that can do some of those things. I'm not saying he can replace the upside that Dante had, but George Hill's a guy that's been in those playoff games and has played pretty well in the playoffs for the Bucks before. He's a guy that can give you some of that scoring and some of that defense and rebounding. So they do have some of these guys. It's just waiting for them to come back. But the big thing is what they do with those two open roster spots. I think it's only one they're going to fill. But what they do there, is it Goran Dragic? Is it Dennis Schroeder? Is it somebody that gives them scoring off the bench? And as far as Jordan Wara, Greg, are you ready for another one here? Because we told you, what, last week? Tyrese Haliburton is Malcolm Brogdon. DeAndre Bembry, I was kind of workshopping a comp there. I'm still not in love with what we used last night, so I'm not going to repeat it. But Jordan Wara, are you ready for it?
Okay, hit me.
Let's hop in the time machine, go back a couple of years when everybody was clamoring for one player of why haven't we called this guy up? Why isn't he playing more? Why did we let him go elsewhere? He could have been doing this here next to Giannis. And some people like myself, some people like some friends of mine, Kane Pittman and Frank Madden and others, all Eric Name, we all kind of pointed out, look, I get that he's putting up some sexy numbers in the G League. I get that he's scoring. I get that he's doing these things. He's not going to do these things here. We don't need player X to score. We need him to rebound and play defense. And, yeah, he's got great offensive skills and upside there. I just question the other side of the floor. If you replaced the names here and just describe both, you'd be describing the same player. Because nobody's disputing what Jordan Wara can do, and I thought it was very telling. Matter of fact, I'll repeat some of the comments Bud made before the game about Jordan Wara. I thought it was very telling what he said about Jordan Wara, and then what he said after the game, which was, without naming him, about Jordan Wara as well. So I'll tell you those comments, and I'll tell you who Jordan Wara's comp is after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Middleton backs his way into the paint. He's defended. Contested shot. Off the back iron. Long rebound, though, controlled by Jordan Wara. The Bucks will have another crack at it. He's going to hoist one up from three, and he sticks it from the near side left. Jordan Wara cashing in from the fourth time here tonight from the bonus sphere as he continues to have smoke pouring out of both barrels here.
Jordan Wara offensively with another big game, and I mentioned some of those comments from Bud before the game. Some from him after the game, and if you haven't figured out who it is yet, the player comp for Jordan Wara. We will get to that, but first let's head back out to the phone lines and check in with Mike in Shorewood. You're up on Bucks Talk.
How you doing, man? Tonight, that was kind of a bitter. Even with all that said, you had the 76ers beaten there, but I think their own errors there down the stretch with the Giannis turning the ball over, Middleton giving it away, and then a bad shot there by Holiday. They pretty much gave it to Philly, and when Embiid's playing like that, man, the Philly's just lights out. So if you're looking at it from the Bucks' perspective, you gave this one away, and this is a potential NBA final series. We'll see how Eastern Conference final series. Especially when they get to Harden back into the lineup. I think Philly's legit. If Embiid's playing like this, I think they're going to be a scary matchup. Embiid's probably the only guy right now on Giannis's level in terms of the MVP debate. And maybe you can put Jokic there in third. But right now, Embiid is just carrying this team. So you saw what he did tonight. These two guys, man, that was a battle. But if you're looking from Bucks' perspective, like you were mentioned earlier, I think the only thing, and one last thing, Middleton got to get it going, man. He's in the funk right now. and be shooting like that, the Bucks aren't going to win. But the biggest factor, as you said earlier, is injuries. That's the only thing I think that can derail the Bucks' back-to-back repeat hopes. So we got to hope that Brook Lopez is back. That's going to be key. Obviously, we picked up Ibaka, which is a good insurance. And then you have mentioned D'Ambry. So, and Connaughton should be back soon. So that's what we're keying on, because it's not going to be easy to go back-to-back. One missing guy can really derail it for you. So fingers crossed, man, we get these guys back, because I don't think it's going to be easy. The East has gotten tougher, and I think the path is going to be a lot more difficult, not to mention whoever comes out of the West is going to be a tough matchup. So hopefully they rest up here going into the break, and we'll see. Do you think number one seed is going to be a factor for the Bucks here? They're only two games out, or is it more about just getting the guys working them back in and help? What are your thoughts on that? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem, Mike. I don't think they're going to get the number one seed, but this year more than any other year, I don't know, number one, how much that matters, but also I don't know where you would want to finish in the Eastern Conference at this point. I want to get to that in a second, but Joel Embiid has played this way for a majority of the season. So, you know, I said it on the network postgame, if you haven't seen a lot of him this year, and this was really the first dose of Joel Embiid you saw, you understand why he's in the MVP discussion. He has been incredible this season. And this is the biggest reason, next to Daryl Morey's friendship, awkward relationship, lust for James Harden, you couple that with the way that Joel Embiid is playing this season, and this is why they went out and got James Harden. You can't waste seasons like this. And if they didn't make that move, they're not in the conversation. As great as Joel Embiid is, you cannot do it alone. And there's no supporting cast there. Tobias Harris, I think we've all experienced that and what that's like in the postseason and in big moments. Matisse Thybulle's a one-way player. By the way, we didn't even mention, you know, Matisse Thybulle, all the good that he does, he played 14 minutes tonight. And that's a guy that is a bona fide difference maker on the defensive end of the floor. It's offensively. You saw some of the challenges, and I wonder how much of this changes with James Harden in the mix, but it was difficult to keep him on the floor because we saw the Bucks triple-teaming Joel Embiid, and the reason they could do that at times was Giannis was defending Matisse Thybulle, and he would just completely abandon him, leave him in the corner, and say, if you want to pass it to him, fine. I'm going to do the exact same thing guys used to do to me and used to do to Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, he can hang out behind the line and in the corner there. Great. If he takes the shot, even better. I'm going to go double-team this guy. And because of that, when you don't have James Harden, Tobias Harris was playing well. Tyrese Maxey was huge in the second quarter. 14 points in the second quarter, 19 for the game. He didn't miss a shot in that quarter, and he finished the game 4 of 13. So it was really, he bottled a big spurt in that second quarter and was a negative player the rest of the way. But when that's all you have, you can manipulate your defense and say, okay, if this is all you got, if Tobias Harris beats us, fine. If George Niang beats us, fine. If Matisse Thybulle hits a shot, we will live with that. We're throwing bodies on Joel Embiid. So, you know, that's another thing is, look, if you got two of the best players in the game on the same team, you're going to be tough to beat. But this is one of those teams that the construction of the roster isn't there. Now, maybe they become a much bigger problem next year when they have an offseason to sort some of these things out. Maybe they get some guys at the buyout market. James Harden makes them better. He makes them better in the short term. But that's an interesting trade with Philadelphia that I'm still not totally convinced how all of these pieces fit. Now, granted, we said a lot of that about Brooklyn. We said a lot about that about the Houston Rockets when they traded for Chris Paul and had James Harden. It was like, well, you got one basketball. Now you got two point guards. How's that going to work out? And they were a Chris Paul injury away from beating the Warriors and going to the finals. So we can say it now, but things have a way of working themselves out. I'm still taking the Bucks or the Heat to come out of the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Am I crazy? What say you? I know it's disappointing that they're only 12 games above 500 and they're technically fifth in the Eastern Conference. But how do you feel about this first half of the season for the Bucks? Where do you want to be in the Eastern Conference in terms of the standings? We'll get to that in a moment. But I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, before we caught up with Mike and Jake, Jordan Wara. He reminds me so much of a conversation that we had a couple of years ago, and I was thinking about this actually before the game. I was thinking, man, I can't... Why do I get these feelings of deja vu when we talk about Jordan Wara? Why can't I put my finger on this? And before the game, we heard some of those comments from Bud leading into the game about where this team is at on the wing. DeAndre Bembry, a little bit of thumb soreness. He wasn't going to play. Grayson Allen, hip issue. He wasn't going to play. And you kind of sense that was going to be the case when he left the game on Tuesday. But, you know, as Bud said, you know, Lindell Wigginton, Jordan Wara, we're going to lean on those guys a lot. Guys getting opportunities due to injuries, that's a silver lining. Lindell Wigginton was great the other night. And, yeah, we're excited about the opportunities that Jordan Wara is going to get. But he specifically mentioned, Jordan's a young player. He's always growing. He's learning. He's got a knack for scoring. Great. But what he said next, I think, tells you everything you need to know about how they view Jordan Wara at this moment. He's got a knack for scoring. No one's disputing that, but we're pushing him to find ways to impact the game defensively with attention to detail and with passing. We're happy he's getting minutes and he's going to continue to grow, but he needs to play defense and he needs to pass the ball is what Bud is trying to tell you. After the game, he talked about one of the big moments in this game. A close game in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks had a rare turnover. Turnovers were not an issue tonight, but they had a rare turnover on a fast break. Chris Middleton fed it into the corner, and Jordan Wara wasn't there. And Bud pointed that out as well. We had a turnover. We need to be more disciplined with our running habits. In other words, Jordan, you got to get to the corner and space the floor for us. Chris instinctively is on the break thinking, my guy is going to be in the corner. I'm moving it there. It's going to be beautiful basketball. He's going to catch it. He's going to be open, and we got 3 points. We're back in front. Jordan Wara hung out on the perimeter. It's the little things like that that are ultimately going to be the deterrent to Jordan Wara getting and keeping minutes. Getting minutes when this team is healthy, but keeping minutes now. I mean, you heard how much praise Bud had for Lindell Wigginton, and I think it passes the eye test. Lindell Wigginton has looked great in these last three games. Is anybody expecting him to be a piece in the playoffs and a rotation guy? No. But this is what you want young guys to do. Lindell Wigginton made an impact on defense in both of these last two games. He was a pesk. He was able to stick with Tyrese Maxey. Again, we talked about some of these matchups the Bucks have seen in the last couple of games. Going back to Portland. Anfernee Simons, it's not a great matchup for Drew. If you're a prototypical-sized guard, or even a three and a four. Those are guys Drew Holiday can stick with because of the strength that he has and his size. If you're a smaller guy like Anfernee Simons, Tyrese Maxey is small in stature. He's built. But if you're guys like that and you're quick, it's not Drew's greatest matchup. Lindell Wigginton can thrive there, and I think he did at times against Anfernee Simons. He did it at times in the third quarter tonight against Tyrese Maxey. So they're very, very pleased. And Bud even said, you know, he was good again. His defense was impactful. He gave us energy and momentum. He has been a huge positive in this window of opportunity for him. He specifically pointed out how good Lindell Wigginton is. And he's pointing out Jordan Wara is doing some good things, but Jordan Wara needs to do this, this, and this. That to me tells you all you need to know. And the player that reminds me of, it's not that far back, Greg. You've had time to think about this. Do you know who this player is I'm referencing? Do you have a guess who I am talking about that, man, this really reminds me of the discourse we had around this player. How many years ago was that? 3 years ago.
I have a guess.
Okay.
But I think it's wrong.
Is it? Don't doubt yourself, Craig.
I am. I am. Because if I'm right, then it's great. And if I'm wrong, then we all knew. Is it Frank Mason?
It's not Frank Mason.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Christian Wood. Everybody loved Christian Wood and wanted Christian Wood. Why isn't Christian Wood playing? He needs to be a part of this team more. He can give us some scoring. Why are we letting him waste in the G League? Look at what Christian Wood has done since. I mean, yes, Christian Wood can score. Christian Wood, once again, was on the trade market at the trade deadline. Christian Wood, he was good offensively last year. In 41 games for the going-nowhere Houston Rockets, he averaged 21 points a game. He's averaging 17 points a game this season, 10 rebounds, but he's a stick on defense, and he is out there for his offense. This is the exact same conversation we had 3 years ago when everybody wanted Christian Wood to be playing alongside Giannis, to be that 12th man on the roster, to be playing in the playoffs, give him more opportunities. This is what you have waiting for you with those players. Yes, they're going to give you offense, and they're going to have the nights where they score 30. You think, man, Christian Wood scored 40 points last night. Jordan Wara scored 34 points in the season finale against the Bulls. Jordan Wara hit some big, tough shots tonight. Jordan Wara had some lapses on defense. Jordan Wara didn't run to the corner. Jordan Wara became a black hole at times offensively. There was one time when we even saw Giannis kind of throw his hands in the air when it was a one-man possession with Jordan Ward. Those are the things you sacrifice with those types of players, and that's what we're seeing from Jordan Ward. He's young. It's his second year. He still has time to grow, and Bud has been quick to point that out, but he's also quick to point out there's the good, but we're seeing a lot of this as well, and these are the things we've told Jordan he needs to work on and clean up. And when your coach signals out attention to detail, I don't know about you, Greg. I don't take that as an overwhelmingly great thing of, yeah, we're pleased with him. You know, overall, there's one thing you can work on. But that one thing is attention to detail. That's not a good thing if you read between the lines. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. We got a poll question out there. You and I were kicking something around because we're off for 8 days. We're literally doing nothing. You're not working again. I'm not working again. Right? It's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely.
We got a poll question out there about our 8 days off. What should we do with it? Specifically one thing. Should we do this? But also, we've talked enough basketball, right? I mean, we're all taking some time off from the Bucks. We got 8 days off until their next game next Saturday. How should we spend this All-Star break, Greg? Like, I've been immersed in the basketball world every day of the week since October, and now we get some time off. I can watch some hockey. I can watch some TV, whatever it is. What do I need to watch here in these next 8 days? What do I need to get caught up on? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Left elbow now passes to Holiday. Holiday along the baseline, feeds off to Portis, back out to Giannis. Giannis, they're daring him to shoot it. He says, why not? And he buries the three from the left wing. Giannis ties it up again, 106-106. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull on Superman's cape. And Giannis, you dare him enough, he'll make you pay.
16 points in the fourth quarter from Giannis. The old, you don't spit in the wind. It's half true, though, right, Greg? Because you can spit in the wind. It just depends on what direction you spit.
Yeah, but in the wind is not the good thing. Like towards where the wind is blowing.
I'm technically in the wind already. I mean,
semantics.
Right. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight. A handful of callers already chiming in. If you're worried, well, guys, it's late.
I got Matzik.
I'm running out of time. It's going to have to wait until the All-Star break. Don't worry. It's a supersized edition of Bucks Talk tonight. We got 30 minutes left on the show. 855-616-1620 is that number to get in touch with us. And we got an important question for you. Two of them, actually, coming up in just a few moments. But the calls continue. Joining us now, he was here and took in what felt like a playoff game. You can hear him on WTMJ on the afternoon news and all throughout our programming here on WTMJ, our very own Greg Matzik. So, Greg, will we see this matchup in the playoffs?
Well, very interesting on the supersized edition of Bucks Talk. No all-star break for you. At least you're not cutting out early. I like that. And I hope so. Is that a cop-out answer?
No, that's what I said.
I was entertained tonight. I really was. I get the final result wasn't what Bucks fans were hoping for, but you talk about a game that is, I don't know, are some teams mailing it in the night before the all-star break? Maybe. I'm seeing 35, 40 minutes from stars tonight on both teams. I'm seeing monster performances. I see Giannis take over in the fourth quarter. I see him diving out of bounds into the camera guy for a loose ball with 8:05 left in the first half. Like, it didn't feel like a, you know, midweek sort of night leading into the all-star break where guys' minds are in other places. I didn't get a sense of that at all tonight. So I was wildly entertained.
Were you aware this was the first time the Sixers have beaten the Bucks since that Christmas Day debacle 3 years ago?
No, very interesting. Yeah, and that was a debacle. That's an accurate way of putting it. I still don't know what to make of the Sixers. An engaged Joel Embiid is a monster. And the Bucks threw double teams at him. I think they threw triple teams at him, although I don't think that was really by design. And he just handles everything. So when he's engaged and he's healthy, which he appeared to be tonight, like, that's a problem. But I don't know if I trust that for the rest of the season. And I don't also trust James Harden. Like, I just don't. Like, he's got to prove me otherwise now. I think it's to that point. It's not a question of talent. It's can they piece things together? Because where he's been, it's been close, but they just can't quite seem to get over the hump. And this Sixers team may end up being in that same boat. So their early round game, I think it's going to be interesting. Same for the Bucks, same for the Nets if they're able to get in. The first round in the Eastern Conference is going to be unlike any first round I think we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point you bring up with that duo, and we touched on that a little bit, that, you know, inconsistencies aside, I've seen these three guys do it in the playoffs and in big moments, and I've seen Drew and Chris do it without Giannis in big moments in the playoffs. So I'm still at the point where, you know, as long as they're not in the play-in tournament, I don't care where the Bucks are seated. I would take the Bucks. I guess at this point I'd put Miami on the same level. I would take those two teams above any other teams in the Eastern Conference because I trust this group of players. We saw them do it last year. I trust Eric Spoelstra, and you know, Miami has a lot of those same guys that whether or not you believe in the bubble run, they added a guy like P.J. Tucker. Kyle Lowry's had those moments in the finals and in the playoffs that both of those teams are the two teams you would point to and say, I trust these groups of players. It, as far as the Sixers, I mean, we could point out it's a very similar conversation we had about the Bucks the last couple of years of, well, Giannis and Chris haven't done it in the playoffs. But with James Harden, it's a longer track record of, all right, he's been great in the regular season, but we really got to talk about what's going on here in the playoffs. So, to me, I'm with you. And one of the things was, you know, look at how much Matisse Thybulle played tonight. And I understand it's because James Harden wasn't there to help with the spacing, but you could see when it's just Joel Embiid, if you have any deficiencies, once you get to the postseason, it's going to be easy to exploit those because everything picks up. The defenses are better, and you game plan specifically for that matchup that if you have guys that are one-dimensional, you can really take advantage of that. So that would be my big concern with Philadelphia.
So where are you at with the Nets? Because I think we thought last week when the trade was made, it was kind of like, all right, headache one is going to team B, and headache two is coming over to team A, and it's just it's a rotation of drama. It's kind of how I positioned it in my mind. I it's dangerous, though, right? That's still a dangerous team, and I get it. They're sliding right now, and, you know, it's no surprise why. I mean, Ben Simmons isn't playing. Kevin Durant's not playing. Kyrie's only playing part-time. Like, I get it. But that still is – I have a hard time believing that they're just going to collapse if all those guys are healthy and able to play each game throughout the postseason. Like, that's still a team to me that I'm – you got to keep an eye on. Where are you at with the Nets? It's been a weird year for them.
No, I guess that's where I kind of am. I mean, I'm not a I don't think he's a bad player, but I'm not a huge Ben Simmons guy. So I didn't know what to make of it, the trade last week or 2 weeks ago, and I saw a lot of people saying, well, Brooklyn clearly won this deal. And I guess long-term, probably, because they got some assets back, and you don't have to worry about, is this Harden contract going to be bad in a couple of years? But, yeah, I mean, as long as you have Kevin Durant, we saw what he did, basically, single-handedly in that second-round series last year. So if things sort out, and I know Kyrie continues to say he's optimistic they will, and you have Kyrie in the mix as well, and if Ben Simmons is there playing defense, it's a team you could potentially talk me into going farther than the 76ers. But both the Sixers and the Nets, to me, as you said, kind of traded problems and just kind of traded places where it's, yeah, I don't know how much I trust both of these teams or if I trust one of them more than the other. I guess I would probably side with the Nets just because I've seen Kevin Durant do that in the playoffs in big moments, and even Kyrie, you've seen it. So that is I guess, where I would fall. But also, right now, they're eighth in the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're escaping the play-in tournament at this point because Kevin Durant, I don't think, is going to be back until a week or two after the All-Star break. So I don't think they're getting out of the play-in tournament. But if you're Brooklyn, eighth is probably where you want to be anyway because it means Kyrie Irving plays in that first game in the play-in tournament.
No, that's a good point. So it becomes an interesting, really interesting scenarios here. And I know you've gone through it on the program over the, you know, the course of time, just projecting where the matchups are. And it seems to change, right? Every single day you lose a game, you drop three spots, you win a game, you move up two. It's just kind of a logjam right now. Here's my view on the teams that probably don't get enough chatter. I hear about the Cavaliers. Oh, they're not ready yet. I hear about the Bulls. Oh, they're probably not ready yet. DeRozan's been there, but can they really break through? I kind of look at this Eastern Conference and I think to myself, well, why not? Like if you have home court advantage and you're a four seed and you're the Cavs, like who cares if you've been there or not before? Like you're riding a wave of confidence into the postseason. And I do wonder about teams that have that kind of length. Toronto kind of frustrated the Bucks earlier this year. The Cavaliers have frustrated the Bucks a little bit. And both those teams have remarkable length. So I know Brook changes things if he's back on the floor. But there are certainly some teams that are intriguing, and there is nothing easy about getting a team like Cleveland out. And maybe Atlanta was that version of a team last year. I don't know if you can sleep on really anybody. Aside of the teams that are, that number 9 and 10 spot, I wouldn't really worry too much about. But it's chock full of intrigue. It's more log jam than I think you'd ever expect at this time of the season. And I don't think it's going to change much either.
Yeah, it's a good point on Atlanta that it was January last year that they really took off and found themselves in the conference finals. And look, as of right now, the first-round matchups, if we assume the Nets would beat the Raptors, and who knows, it would either be the Raptors, Hawks, or Hornets then as the 8th seed playing the Heat. None of those three teams are beating Miami. The Nets would then be the 7th seed, so they would play the Bulls in the first round. The Sixers would play the Celtics in the first round, and the Bucks would play the Cavaliers. In terms of your first-round matchups, that's probably as good as you can hope for the Bucks.
That's
but then,
crazy.
Oh, by the way, the Miami Heat are waiting for you in the second round. So, I mean, you have all of these teams, and right now, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Sixers, the Bulls, the Heat, they have consistently been the best in the Eastern Conference. At least one of those teams is going home in the first round.
Yeah, it's not unlike what we saw last year. And we were doing these shows last year, Justin, trying to figure out the path and trying to wonder, like, well, maybe, just maybe, it makes more sense for the Bucks to be a 3 seed. Maybe they need to avoid the Heat.
Yeah.
It turns out they mopped the floor with the Heat. The Heat were not the bubble team they were in the bubble in last year's postseason, so no big deal. But there's going to be nothing easy about the run. Regardless of who you run into, you still got to win 16 games to win it all, and that's just not easy to do. And teams are confident who advance, and we saw that last year. Atlanta had some swag about them, and they were able to get Milwaukee on its home floor. Certainly the Nets have all sorts of firepower when healthy, but still question marks, and we've identified the questions with the 76ers. So the Bucks are that team that's been there before and done it. And I guess to some degree, Miami has as well, although it was a really unique circumstance. But all of a sudden, the Celtics are out of nowhere. Like, I just, there's little separation, I think, with these teams. So it sets up for a fascinating final 22 games here, 22 for the Bucks anyway. And then whatever the postseason draw is, you're going to have to earn it like you will every year. But this year more than most, I think it's going to be an unpredictable postseason.
It's going to be crazy just when you see the jockeying for position in the final 10 or so games, just because, you know, last year you knew there were clearly three really good teams in the East, and there was a handful of noise saying, well, put Miami in that group too. But you could see the Bucks, the Sixers, the Nets. These are the three best teams. This year, I still think the Bucks and the Heat are the two best teams, but there's a handful of teams that are not far behind. And, oh, by the way, one of those is likely lurking as the seventh seed. So there is no easy path where you can't even say, well, if we finish second or third, then you have this, this, and this. Because if you finish second, it means you're playing seventh, and that could be Brooklyn. If you finish third, it could mean Brooklyn was seventh, we're playing them in the second round. I mean, it could come down to you want the Bulls to finish with the best record, and you want the Cavs to finish fourth, and you're fine with sliding down to fifth if it means Cavs-Bulls is your first two matchups. That's how crazy the Eastern Conference is going to be in the final month and a half of the season.
It could be a matter of getting healthy. So it is a big deal. I know we've talked about, you've talked about Brook quite a bit throughout the season, and just, you know, hints at his return. I'm going to throw out a date, Justin, and this is my own reckless speculation, which we love to do on this program. March 22nd. That's the date. That's my speculation date for Brook to return. It's after a West Coast trip. It's the start of a brief homestand. I believe it's Chicago that night in Milwaukee. You don't need Brook in February. You probably don't need him in that first couple of weeks of March. But I do think, you know, 10 games, maybe. You'd like to see about 10 games of Brook going into the postseason. I don't know if they can win a championship without Brook, to be honest. And you got to get him back on the floor at some point, some kind of ramp up into the postseason. So that's my speculation date for Brook to return is March 22nd. I have nothing to base it on.
I feel like it's somewhere around there because they have 2 days off before that West Coast trip. And, I mean, I got to assume you're going to San Francisco early, not only to spend time there, but also so Brook will likely have another post-op checkup right around that time. So you would imagine we'll at least get a much better idea of a timeline and when it is he'll be back, if he's not back by then, for March 12th when they play the Warriors. So I would imagine it's going to be somewhere around there as well. I've talked about this the last couple of nights and last few shows with Greg Hill. If you've heard it, you can play dumb and nail the guess here. But we keep looking at projected standings by the 538. Do you know who the 538 as of, well, I didn't check today. I suppose I should do that. But as of yesterday, who the 538 had projected to win the Eastern Conference and with the best chance of winning the NBA championship?
Just the way you phrased that makes me think it's not Miami and it's not the Milwaukee Bucks. So and it's probably not the Nets because that's still a bit of a mess. So process of elimination, I would say it's either the Bulls or the Celtics.
It is the Boston Celtics. And their latest update was about 30 minutes ago. They have the Boston Celtics and Phoenix Suns tied with the best chance of making the finals and the Boston Celtics with a 19% chance of winning the finals, which is the best in the NBA.
Yeah, what am I missing there? Like it's.
Well, I was going to say, I want to point to, hey, 538 is high on the Bucks, but then when you see they got the Celtics winning the title, like, well, I don't know how much I believe this.
But any team catches a heater and all of a sudden you're going to be the number one seed. Just win four in a row, and that might be all it takes to move up from number six to number two or one. And they can do that, but, you know, I guess there's not a lot of separation in my mind between Celtics, Bulls, Cavs, the Heat, right? I mean, just beyond the standings, like, it's pretty compressed. I'm intrigued by it.
It really has been like the 50-50 lottery in the Eastern Conference standings. Like, hey, you got $2, you can win $5,000. Like, hey, you want to show up to a game, you could win the Eastern Conference. That's what it's felt like so far this season. Just win two games in a row, and you'll be in the lead. Before I let you go, Greg, I got 8 days off now. So I have neglected a lot of TV and everything else. So what do I need to do in these 8 days? What do I need to watch or catch up on?
Oh, boy, here we go. There's a lot. So thankfully, you have not missed the start of the final season of Better Call Saul. That's coming in April. So right around playoff time, you might have to, it might be a couple months before you get to that. Right. I've got two episodes of Ozark to finish up. That is a creepy, bizarre show, man. That'll take you on a wild ride. If you've started it, you must continue. Yeah. You could probably plow through that. All the episodes are available for you. Hop on, let her rip. Yep. It's good. It's dark. It's strange. And I can't get enough of it. So that would be one I'd catch up on. That'd also, maybe guess. Take a trip down toward the border, stop it at a White Castle, and get weird a little bit there.
Well, I don't like onions, so I can't do White Castle. I actually started the first episode of Ozark, of the newest season, because I am somewhat caught up, but then realized I'm not going to watch like one every 2 weeks. I'll just wait until I have time, so I'll probably side with that.
Yeah, you can let it rip. Now, meanwhile, I've been trying my damnedest to get Eric Name in on Breaking Bad, and he always says it's next on the list for him. So I need help. I need assistance. I'm almost at the point now where I'm going to tell him, now you should probably just start with Better Call Saul. Like do what nobody else has done. And do this in reverse. We all saw Breaking Bad first and then Better Call Saul. Well, maybe he can do something that nobody else has done here. But I need your help.
I was going to say, he'll be the guy that's like, hey, did you know they made a sequel to Better Call Saul?
Right. Yeah, it's called El Camino. Try and get him on that train. I've been trying to nudge him for like 2 years now, and clearly it's not working for me. So it surprises me that he has not taken a dive in. It's hard to get out once you make that dive, as you well know.
Yeah, I will see what I can do, but I think we may have found a winner with Ozark. Greg, always good to catch up with you. It's getting late for you, so I will let you go, and I'll let you know how Ozark finishes out.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I'm going to feed the hamster and head off to bed here. So a nice little eight-day break, and here we go, man. Buckle in. It's going to be a great ride to the finish.
All right, we will see you later. Greg Matzik of Wisconsin's Afternoon News and of WTMJ, who was here on the scene taking in what felt like a playoff game. I asked him, what should I do? Ozark, I feel like that's probably going to get the most votes. Should I jump in on Ozark? Is there another show I'm missing? I know there's a handful. And Greg, I've made the mistake of Hulu, Netflix, all of them. All the ads that you hear running of, hey, do you have this streaming service that you forgot you pay for? That's me. So I have everything at my fingertips.
Sure.
And you keep adding things to your queue of like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. Oh, yeah, I'll watch that. And then all of a sudden you just see like, my queue is 173 different shows. Like, when am I going to do this? Unless, hopefully, knock on wood, it doesn't happen. Unless we have another pandemic. I don't know when I'm going to get to all of these shows. So what should I jump to next? And what if Greg and I teased something we're thinking of doing here during the All-Star break? We'll explain after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
To Ibaka, he'll give it to Giannis the other way. Giannis into the front court. He'll tee one up from three. Got it! Giannis delivers again! 116 to 112. The Bucks out in front by four. And the Greek Freak now with 30 points to go with his 11 rebounds and 9 assists.
All right, there were highlights in this game. And the fourth quarter was great. And Giannis was great. I've seen a lot of, I mean, look, the MVP discussion in itself is something we will have much more time to dive into in the final month and a half of this season. But Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP award. Would you agree with that, Greg? I think at this point, we're basically two-thirds of the way through the season. He's winning the MVP award. Philadelphia is going to finish in the top four, at least. Philadelphia, to me, if you said there's one team that's going to go on a big run in the final 20, 23 games of the regular season in the East, I would buy it's Philadelphia, that James Harden shows up, James Harden is motivated, James Harden plays like the guy he was in Brooklyn last year, when, remember, he was a worthy All-Star, and he should have been in the MVP discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But we just were not going to recognize James Harden at all for forcing his way out of Houston. I could see Philadelphia going on a run like that and really shooting up the standings in the Eastern Conference, because right now they've played 58 games, so they got 24 games left. If James Harden comes back and plays a majority of those games, I could see him going 18-6, and that would put you at 53 wins. All of a sudden, 53 at this point is probably, if not winning the conference, it's probably second. Philadelphia's probably going to finish in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you got to be really good, and your team has to be good. Nikola Jokic has been great. His team is just okay. Right now, the Nuggets are sixth at 33-25. That, more than anything, his numbers have been better than they were last year. But the Nuggets being sixth, more than anything, is what's going to hurt Nikola Jokic. Joel Embiid is winning the MVP award. Yes, we can point to Giannis's numbers of, well, he's better than him in this, 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 and this. Unless the Bucks are virtually unbeatable in the second half and Giannis's numbers get even better, Joel Embiid is winning the award. And you know what? That's fine, because more often than not, you're great in the regular season, you win the MVP, it doesn't translate. You don't have that same amount of success in the postseason. We saw it twice with Giannis. Saw it last year with Nikola Jokic. Fine, let Joel Embiid have the MVP award. It typically doesn't bode well for postseason success. But he's great, and you saw tonight. Man, I don't know how you defend this guy. But that's the thing. That's what you typically do say about great players. How do you defend Nikola Jokic? I don't know. How do you defend Giannis? How did you defend peak Michael Jordan? How did you defend James Harden? Like, that's what we say. Kevin Durant. There's nobody that can defend Kevin Durant. We still talk about how great of a job PJ Tucker did, and he did. Kevin Durant was scoring 50 on him in that series. Like, that's what makes these players great. Yeah, the Bucks don't have anybody to stop Embiid. No one does. Just like no one has anybody to stop Giannis, especially if he's going to continue to consistently hit three-point shots. So, to me, this game, I didn't need this as the final nail, but, I mean, this game, you see it up close and personal. Joel Embiid's winning the MVP award this season. He's been tremendous. And he was great tonight. But I still like the Bucks better than I like the 76ers. So that's kind of where we're at midway through the season. Moderately disappointing, sure. There are extenuating circumstances to why the Bucks are in this spot, technically fifth in the Eastern Conference. All teams have dealt with injuries and COVID and all that, but the second half, I expect to see a much different team. It's kind of what we saw last year. And we talked about the run the Bucks went on going into the All-Star break a season ago, where they went 6-1 going into the break. They didn't quite hit what we were shooting for. We said go 6-2. They went 5-3. But I expect to see a much different team in the second half. It is a brutal start to the second half, though. Brooklyn, Charlotte, Miami, Chicago, Phoenix. Those are your first five games to open up the second half of the season. But this is a team that you've gotten that rest. You just got 22 games left to play. And I think we're going to see a much different Bucks team in March and going into the postseason. But we have arrived at the All-Star break. I think we've aligned on Ozark. I will dive into Ozark for the next 8 days. And, you know, by the way, we threatened this on Twitter, Greg. I put the poll out there. I'm going to continue to see what the people are saying. But, you know, don't threaten us with a good time. Should Greg Hill and I play a game of NBA 2K? We can put it on Twitch. We can live stream it.
Bring it.
Do some Bucks talk following that game to recap it. We got to do something to get our basketball fix. So I'm not ruling that out. But our next actual Bucks talk with an actual Bucks game is 1 week from Saturday, 7:30 tip. So same time as tonight that will hit the airwaves. No word yet on whether or not it will also be a supersized edition of Bucks talk. But next Saturday is when we meet back here with the first game of the second half of the season. My thanks to everybody for listening to the last, 90 minutes of tonight's show.
Super
and
size.
To the entire library of shows through the first half of the season, all the callers we had as well, all the producers we've had working on the show, including Greg Hill. We will talk to you next Saturday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.